I'd like to venture into verse 14 for a moment, too, to speak a little bit about this. And it is a result of those who are his, that we can appreciate both of these sides, that the scriptures give us both of these sides. And this other aspect, we could just maybe speak a little bit about this, and this idea of the tree of life and entering into the gates, through the gates, into the city. First of all, the tree of life was last seen in Genesis. There are four references to the tree of life in the book of Proverbs, which are very instructive in themselves. But the tree of life was last seen in Genesis, and now here again it is in chapter 22, in verse 2 also. And the tree of life, Adam and Eve were prevented from eating from the tree of life. It was God's mercy that they would not eat from the tree of life, because they could have eaten from the tree of life previously. In fact, the tree of life was in the center of the garden, and in their viewpoint, it became the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the center of the garden. That was what Eve said. The tree that is in the center of the garden, we're not allowed to eat of that. The one thing that God kept from them, that to her became the most important tree in the garden. But really, God had put in the center the tree of life. And when they sinned by eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened, they were now susceptible. They knew the difference between good and evil. What Satan didn't tell them in his deception was, once you know good and evil, you will not be able to stop doing evil. And you have also disobeyed God himself, and now have cast yourselves onto the side of those who are sinners inherently. It became our nature as well as our practice. But God, we have God as if speaking among the triune God, to himself, among the divine Trinity, saying, we must stop them from, keep them out of the garden now, because if they would eat the tree of life, that would be terrible. Because then what would they do? They would live forever in their sin. So they were driven out of the garden and not allowed to eat of the tree of life. In particular, that was why God said he drove them out of the garden. But now here it is, the tree of life. And those who are his have the right to eat of the tree of life and enter into the city. This is not heaven, per se. I want to just speak about this briefly to make comments on what this means. The city is seen in chapter 21, verse 10. John is carried away in the spirit in this vision. He sees the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And from chapter 21, verse 10, all the way through to this point of chapter 22, it's this city. This city comes down from heaven out of God. It says in verse 24, chapter 21, verse 24, the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its lights. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. Chapter 22, verse 2, the leaves of this tree of life are for the healing of the nations. This is that kingdom time where the nations that have been judged, Matthew 25 has the parable of the sheep and the goats. That is a judgment of the nations. It's not judgment of individuals. And those nations of whom it is said, you were kind to those persecuted Jewish people during the tribulation, you will be part of that kingdom. And the nations, this is not heaven per se. This is the city of God that is illuminating these nations during Christ's kingdom. There actually are kings on earth at this time. There actually are nations that are identifiable as specific nations. And then at the end of that time, there will be this great rebellion once again. Satan will be loosed from the pit where he's been bound for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 tells us that. And he will be able to stir up another rebellion against these nations who have been so favored during all this time, where Christ himself is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Satan himself is finally judged. Really, the scene that's eternity is chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, 1 to 5. where it speaks about a new heaven and a new earth, and God just dwells with mankind. The tabernacle of God is with men, verse 3. Where there are nations, that's the kingdom time. So chronologically, kind of goes backwards in time. He has seen the city a little earlier in Revelation. Now here in chapter 21, he sees the city again. I know this is not our primary theme, but it would be good to understand a little bit about what it means to enter the gates into the city. But even there, it is that God desires to bless those who are in that kingdom. But as we have said, the Lord Jesus is the one who attracts our hearts. We certainly all agree with this as well. And even now, the one who is thirsty for this can come. John is now speaking, we might say, in verse 17, the one who hears this message is saying, come to the Lord Jesus. But the one who is thirsty can himself come to the Lord Jesus. Are you thirsty today? If you're thirsty for this relationship, you're thirsty for this one who behaves this way with such graciousness and grace and goodness towards those who are his, the one who is so attractive to every heart who knows him, the one who thirsts can come and take the water of life freely.
How the way this is written is not just a future hope. It is something that can be realized presently. And as you're describing, Brother Steve, that in verse 17, come. Well, you can't come, you know, after that last event. When it's all over, there's no more coming. So clearly, these last verses are instructive and for us now. And just looking at verse 14, the first phrase there is markedly different in the King James and the Darby. The King James Version says, blessed are they that do his commandments. And these are the ones that have the right to the tree of life. But if you read it in the Darby, it is a little more interesting. It says, blessed are they that wash their robes. And so connecting the statements, the washing of robes is connected with keeping his commandments. But how do we wash our robes? Well, that's in chapter 1. Our sins have been washed in his blood. We wash them in his blood. It's through his work. And so the work is already done. As believers, our sins have been, our robes are clean. They are washed. And so when you read, for example, and we can enjoy this life now too, the tree of life, we have eternal life. John 17 says it's to know God and Jesus Christ. So it's truly an empowering thing that all of these wonderful, picturesque ways of describing life, water, living water. You have the bride. You have the tree of life, the city, this beautiful picture. But we enjoy it now. In John 14, it says similarly, if we love him, the Father and the Son make their abode with us. That's now. The Father and the Son abide with us if we do what? If we have washed our robes. And of course, it's a continuing thing. The robes have been washed. But if we let sin collect on them again, and although this does not affect standing in terms of salvation, well, what happens? We lose some of that sense of abiding. And the life that we enjoy, it's not that the angel is going to put his sword up again, but perhaps we've chosen to walk away from that tree. It's like we're saying no to the fruit and saying yes to the fruit of the world.
See, this is the importance of, in all of this, we shouldn't forget as we get to the close of this, is the importance of grace. See, grace is the central message, and it's the only thing that will keep us. We look in verse 20 and 21, where we get the parting words of the Lord Jesus, but also the parting words of the Apostle John. The parting words of the Lord Jesus are in verse 20, he which testify these things says, surely I come quickly, amen. We get his statement of his coming. And that's, he strengthens this by a double affirmative. You have surely, which is the Greek affirmation. And then he has amen, which is the Hebrew affirmation. So you have the Greek affirmation and the Hebrew affirmation that it's to all men, Greek and Jew. The testimony goes out. And then verse 21, John's parting words, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints, I believe it should be, all the saints. He concludes with that thought of grace. And we didn't touch on it, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the parting last word of Paul to the faithful was, the Lord be with thy spirit, grace be with you, amen. So in the innermost being, our spirit, grace be with you, because we need that. It's grace that saves us, grace to keep us, and grace will present us spotless in his presence. You see, at the end of the day, it's grace. And I think of the parting words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders as well. They would no more see his face. He says, I commend you to God, and to what? The word of his grace. So let's not lose sight, brothers and sisters, that it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end.
We've come to the end of this study.